Hello everyone, especially carers, and I mean unpaid carers. You know who you are, well I hope you know anyway. Welcome back to another podcast by Matthew McKenzie, an unpaid mental health carer, working hard to share my knowledge and my experience, however helpful, to those listening. Now I've been running peer support carer groups for the start of 2020, usually over in the Royal London Borough of Greenwich. I've started making these audio podcasts as a way to support my carer peer support groups, so that way carers who attend can access such information for free. Now these audios, as usual, are split into two sections, one educational and the other more uplifting, more therapeutical. You know, I'm no mental health professional, but I am a carer, even if others do not think so. I'm also a carer heavily involved in the NHS, which is an exciting challenge, and I urge other carers to get involved and at least care for what the health services are trying to do for us all. And I think this particular chapter is about caring for yourself. So let's start with the educational aspect first. Without a doubt, this is one of the most important themes for an unpaid carer. I often ask carer centres across the country to share my podcasts. But if there's anything I wish they will share, it's got to be this one. It's got to be this chapter, and just as a reminder, it is about looking after yourself as a carer. Now, you see, the thing is this. If you don't take anything away from this audio, check out what I'm going to say. If you don't look after yourself as a carer, how can you look after someone else? Now, I'm just going to repeat that. Just to get that message across. If you don't look after yourself or care for yourself as a carer, then how would the cared for get support from you? Just have a think about that. Let's get some insight from Carers UK, a leading charity helping to give that voice to unpaid carers. Because we all know carers need that voice because by their nature, they put everyone else first, especially the cared for, and themselves last. That is the nature of the caring business. Now, Carer UK reports off their site that caring for someone can be rewarding, but it can also be very tiring, putting a lot of demand on the carer's physical and emotional energy. When you're simply coping day to day and responding to the needs of others, it is easy to forget your own health needs. Now, I could not put this more exact, coming from the Carers UK site. Now, I'm not saying this is the situation for all carers, as we all know that there are crises and scenarios where some carers can come under immense pressure, while other carers may not have the run-of-the-mill situation. It really depends on how unwell the cared for is, and sometimes how unwell the carer is. Now, going back to the Carers UK site, they list important tasks and tips that carers should take note of. And if you're a carer listening, I hope you can take note of these tips and hints as well. And I will go through some of them, not all of them, due to trying to keep the podcast fairly short. So what has Carers UK mentioned off their site that can help carers care for themselves? Well, the first thing I find quite important, one would be like letting the GP know, letting your doctor know. Getting enough sleep as a carer, very important. And this is an interesting one, caring for your back. And I will go through these things. Coping with stress and depression. If you can remember, if you've ever have had a chance, certainly listen to one of my podcasts, which is specifically on stress and depression. Not only is coping with guilt and resentment, flu jabs. I recently had my flu jab just late last year. Taking a break and accessing your own care records as a patient, which is your right. You need to know your own records, even if it's difficult finding information about your loved one, about the cared for. Now, I have gone through the Care UK site regarding these tips, and I must say they are excellent. And a lot of these tips do revolve, I think, around the GP, around the doctor. Not all of them, though. And you know what? I'm sure doctors and general practitioners are getting so sick and tired of me stating how important they are to unpaid carers. And I get the feeling that the doctors are so sick and tired of this that they might end up seeing the doctor themselves. Still, GPs must not understate their major importance to both patient and carer, because without the carer, I'm telling you, the patient will be seeing the doctor almost 24/7. So, okay, let's go through some of what I've listed from the Carers UK site. Obviously, the first one being letting your GP know. If you're a carer caring for someone else, please let your GP surgery know. It's not only just letting the GP know that you may feel unwell. That's obviously just very important. Of course, you should. If you are feeling well, don't just cope. That's what I'm trying to say. But going back to letting the GP surgery know, this might be slightly more difficult, to be honest, for mental health carers because of the situation of the patient acknowledging that they need that support and confirm to the doctor or to the surgery who the carer is. As the situation might be for explained more carer, service users or patients suffering mental illness can sometimes not always be aware they need that support. And there can be a lot of stigma. Not always their fault. I'm not blaming them for this, but there will be times it'll be difficult for a surgery to register a mental health carer. And also patient confidentiality. But it shouldn't be that way. Anyway, this, as I mentioned, when you're trying to register as a carer, can lead to a slippery slope to confidentiality problems. But if your GP surgery is understanding, they will and they should register you, even if it's just meeting halfway. They shouldn't just turn you away. They shouldn't push you away. That is the culture amongst the health services we need to avoid. It needs to be inclusive and needs to take the family and carer into account. So anyway, just walk into that surgery and ask for that carer register. They should have one. Especially large GP surgeries usually have carers registers. If they do not have one, certainly ask why. And if they don't, then ask if you can get registered to your local care centre. But they should be supporting carers at the GP surgery. So anyway, this is just letting your GP know whether you're unwell or whether you need to be identified, which is a very important word, identified as a carer. So, okay, on to the next educational bit, getting enough sleep. Now, Carers UK reports if your carer, you may be having a broken or not enough time getting sleep. There may be interruptions occasionally. You know, having a disturbed night will affect you the following day. But if you're having trouble sleeping for longer than a night or two, then yeah, everything will seem harder. There's no doubt about that. Now, going back to myself as a mental health carer, I've had sleepless nights when the person I'm trying to care for became very unwell. And it's like I have to keep an eye on what is going on, as they cannot sleep and they dive deep into mental illness. And that means I have to try and keep an eye and make sure things are not getting out of hand. Not easy. Still, it's important to try and get some sleep, even if it's almost during the day. Carers UK give more tips, especially on reducing bad habits in regards to getting sleep, like obviously avoiding too much TV at night and avoiding the bad habits of drinking, and also trying to make the bedroom more comfortable. Again, not always easy. Some tips may rely on what you can do creatively in that situation. Okay, caring for your back. Did I mention I work at the London School of Osteopathy? No, I'm not an osteopath, but some things osteopaths say do make a lot of sense. Carers often have to move the cared for around. You know, it's not always the situation of mental health carers. We do have carers caring for those who are infirm, can't move around as much. Carers sometimes, even if they're not moving someone around, they sometimes have to clean, pick up stuff, and it does take its toll. It helps to get a bit of training on lifting something heavy. Plus, you know, look at ways of improving your posture. Avoid the bad habits, and certainly think about speaking again to the GP or even booking an appointment to see an osteopath before those habits become a major problem in your life. And obviously, if your back does give way, again, it does go all the way back to saying, if you're not able to care for yourself, the cared for will not get that support from you. Okay, I think I'll go through two more. Coping with stress and depression, not an easy one. And it's not a magic bullet, these tips, as we are all different when coping with stress and depression. Still, the good news is that there is support out there, however small. Carers UK recommends that understanding stress and depression is the first sign to dealing with it. Becoming more relaxed when stressed is a good start, and they certainly recommend contacting care centres on therapy or accessing carer support groups if the care centres are able to run them. I know funding is an issue. Another recommendation is, again, keeping active, but more importantly, if things seem to get out of control, please speak to your doctor. It's only right that you can get access to the GP. And I think I'll cover one last one. And flu jabs, very important. We're just coming off the back of the flu season. You also got a situation with the coronavirus. And it's, you know, I had to add this in. Not everyone believes in these flu jabs, but at the same time of this recording, you know, I'm watching the news and I'm seeing how tragic it is that so many out there are getting unwell. And I'm not saying the flu jab is a magic bullet. I'm not saying that at all. I'm just saying that it can help with all sorts of other viruses, but it can reduce being exposed to more common viruses. Remember, if you fall sick, it could spread to the cared for, the caree, which will make it harder to look after them. And also, again, if the cared for, the caree is really, you know, fairly old in age, do remind them that it's important they have a flu jab as well. Now, due to the time, I think I will leave it for now on the others. Obviously, there is more to caring for yourself as a carer. It is not easy, I know, because of the strain on health and social services that we cannot deny. Still, as carers, we need to be aware that we too have the power and choice on how we live our lives. We must and should try and care for ourselves. It is under the Care Act 2014 that we get support on our health and on our well-being. So right there, let's move on to the uplifting section of the podcast. It's not always educational, and I'll be starting this in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Thank you for listening and making it to this part of the podcast. This, I felt, was a very important episode, although to be fair, many other episodes of my carer series are also important, including what you as a carer deserve. Healing yourself as a carer. identity and coping through stress and the hard times. You see, because of all these things and more that affect carers, it really shows we as carers must take time to look after ourselves. I admit though, time is often a difficult thing to hold on to. I'm with you on that. But for your sake, my fellow friend, I do not want you to be the next patient. Let me put it this way. There is this us and them view that service users suffer through mental health, and in some ways that is correct. They are taking that chronic situation of mental illness. There's no doubt about that. Then we have the situation that clinical professionals understand mental health and do not suffer stress and trauma, and that carers can often be the cause or the trigger of mental torment. My view is this, that it's not always that easy, and it shouldn't be that easy to put the blame on those who are trying, you know, the mental professionals, the carers, the patients. It shouldn't be just a blame game. Mental health in its definition does not discriminate. Mental illness can be catching as watching and experiencing the person you love, you care for, go through hell, and you feeling powerless to do much about it. Feeling tired, feeling worn out. Patient, professional, and family, friend, and carer all have a part to play. Just like what the Triangle of Care is saying, that we all have a part to play in combating the situation of mental illness, and the situation that carers' voices do need to be heard. But for now, I want to put the healing factor into the carer. I want to place the importance on you. You as a carer must have been through some forms of difficulty. Yes, caring can be a special role and sometimes be the celebrated pinnacle of a civilized society. A society that shows that we all care for each other. We earn, work, and adhere to social norms. It's all what we as citizens ask for. To care for those we are emotionally related to, and also to support and care for ourselves. We deserve it. I want you, my fellow friend, to take time for yourself. Do it as soon as. Visit that Carers UK site and find time to support yourself. It's about that education as well. Care for yourself, even for just that moment. Since it will be tough for you to support others, you know, the resources are sometimes just not there as yet. You, a fellow carer, don't make that caring journey hard on yourself. Don't let that caring journey take yourself down the road of illness as it has done with the cared for, the caree. We as carers must remain well because that is what we stand for. We must also look after ourselves, and we've got to look out for each other as well. You have been listening to Chapter 18, Looking After Yourself as a Carer, by Matthew McKenzie, a carer fighting the good fight, so other carers can learn more about that caring journey. The next episode is Poem Time. Good luck on your caring journey, and see you again soon, my friend.